Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now. This is Star Talk. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, your personal astrophysicist, and I also serve as director of New York City's Hayden Planetarium. Today is the second hour of our sci-fi movie show, and I'm joined by my comedian co-host, Leanne Lord. I'm also happy to welcome back the bad astronomer, Phil Plait. The topic today is time travel. So let's just talk about time travel in the world of science. So what can you bring to the table?
Well, it depends on what you mean by time travel. I mean, traveling into the future.
What do you mean? It depends on what you mean.
Well,
which word did you not understand in that sentence?
Well, there's a positive and negative, right? We all travel in time. We're going forward, you know, a minute every 60 seconds. So we're going into the future, like it or not. You're going to see it.
But we're trapped in the present as we move to the future.
Yeah, but when you said that, it was the present, but now it's the past. Ooh, spooky.
Okay, you guys really shouldn't do Hallmark cards. I'm just saying.
Well, but we're traveling into the future, and if you wanted to see what it's going to be like 100 years from now, there are ways to do that. And if you want to see what things were like 100 years in the past, there are kind of ways to do that. But if you want to see what the Earth was like 100 years ago, we can talk about that too.
So let's do it.
All right. Well, traveling into the future, if you want to see the distant future, there are ways to do it. Suspended animation, for example, would work if there were some feasible way of doing it biologically.
So we'll slow down your bio functions
somehow,
so that you basically age more slowly.
Right.
This is a common way in sci-fi movies of decades ago, where they go on long trips and they would put you in some kind of suspended animation.
Right. It takes, you know, 100 years to get from here to there. So you freeze the people and they can wake up when they get to their destination. We don't know how to do that. You freeze somebody, they're frozen.
I'm told Walt Disney knows how to do it. Right?
Yeah. I suppose we could send his head to Alpha Centauri and see what happens.
Bad freezer burn, fellas.
Yeah, it's true. You've got something on your nose. Oh, sorry. Frostbite over your entire brain. All right. But that is, you know, possibly one way. Another way would be to travel very quickly. And according to Einstein's,
good old Albert,
relativity, somebody who's moving very rapidly relative to someone on Earth would age more slowly. And so if you were to get in a spaceship and move very close to the speed of light, you could literally travel across the galaxy. And somebody on Earth would experience 100,000 years elapsing, while you might only experience a few months elapsing. And that is time travel into the future, because if you went to the star, you poked around, planted your flag, turned around, came back, 200,000 years would have elapsed on Earth, and you would have only experienced a couple of months, a fraction of that.
But by then, everyone would have forgotten about you.
Well, basically, everybody's dead.
Child support.
Ooh, yeah. No taxes. Hey, there may be some advantages to this.
I'm just saying.
But the problem with that is we have no clue how to go that fast.
No, I bet everyone who wants to travel to the future wants to be able to come back to the present.
Yeah.
That's my of it.
So really, yeah, the honest definition of time travel is being able to travel backwards in time. And, you know,
Or just treat the timeline as an accessible
Like a road. You can get off and get back on some other place, or go back to where you were as many times as you want.
Right.
Cloverleaf.
Okay.
A chronological cloverleaf.
Mm-hmm.
Write that down. I'm going to patent that and make that into a URL. I don't know how I feel about that. Traveling backwards in time, you know, the thing is, if you go back in time, the usual paradox is, I make a time machine, I go back in time, I kill my grandfather before he meets my grandmother, and I'm never born. And if you're never born,
you couldn't have gone back in time to prevent them from meeting each other.
Exactly. It's a paradox.
Yes.
So it's impossible to happen. I always wonder about that. Why do they always say grandfather? why don't I just go back in time and kill my father?
Mm-hmm.
I liked my father. I wouldn't have any desire to do this, but...
That's why they don't portray that in film.
Maybe.
Because it's a little more diabolical to kill your parents than...
Oedipus time Rex.
Plus, why even kill them? All you have to do is prevent them from meeting.
That's right.
That's all.
If they don't meet at the Enchantment Under the Sea prom dance, right, then they'll never meet.
Put them on different trains, and then they don't meet.
Exactly. And so...
Give one of them bad breath before they encounter, you know?
And there are other paradoxes involved. That's sort of the canonical one, the one that everybody always brings up. But there are other ones. I mean, what happens to the atoms that you're made of in the future and you bring them back into the past? They're the same atoms that are existing in two different places at the same time. And that doesn't
make because
sense.
Presumably your present still exists in the present.
Yes. So if everybody in the future went back in time, suddenly there's more people. There's more mass in the universe than there was.
At that time.
Yeah, at that time. And so that can't – maybe averaged over the age of the universe.
You know, it's been said that in the future they have actually invented a time machine, and the most curious historical event – that has piqued people's interest is the sinking of the Titanic.
Yes.
So they all went back to the Titanic to see it sink, and that's why it sank, because everybody
overloaded the Titanic. This was my idea for a short story, in fact. The reason the Titanic sank is because nobody knew how to steer the ship because they were all time travelers from the future. It's like they're all sitting here like, oh, there's an iceberg. We should do something. And they're like, I don't know how to do something. All I know is I can pilot a rocket ship, but I don't know how to do a cruise liner. And
right.
Sink.
And steamship cruise liner, yeah.
I always liked that idea.
So maybe actual events that we – that have happened in the past have already been influenced by time travelers. What do you think
right.
of that?
Right, and so the other idea is that if you travel backwards in the past, the time is fixed, and it's not like a river flowing. It's more like a landscape, and you can move from one place to the other, but it's fixed. If you go back in time and do something, then that happened always. So you can't go back and kill your grandfather. All you can do is whatever random things you're doing, but no matter what you do, your grandfather and grandmother are going to meet. They're going to have one of your parents, and they're going to have you. You cannot change the past.
So you're saying there's no way I'm going to change my SAT score.
That's right. If you go back in time to change your SAT score, whatever you do will ensure that you got the SAT score you did when you were a kid.
Right. So this is...
21 gigawatts!
I love thinking about this because it's like... It sounds so confusing, but when you think about it, it makes perfect sense.
Right,
no matter what you do, what's going to happen is what's going to happen.
Okay, but that's a hypothesis. What I'm asking you for now is, what science do you know that allows backward time travel? And I don't really know of any.
I've heard some theoretical things and some really crazy physics involving infinitely long cylinders that are rotating near the speed of light and all kinds of crazy stuff like that.
And you take a loop around it that where you revisit your world line earlier than when you left.
Yeah, it's like doubling back on your own timeline.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I don't understand that kind of physics. That's way over my head.
Okay.
Or possibly going around a black hole and there are ways of going through it and coming back at a different point in space and time. Space and time are related, and in a black hole they kind of sort of swap places.
And in a few months, we'll have lost all capacity to go back into orbit the Earth. So conversations about orbiting black holes is not only science fiction, it's like something completely out of reach.
It seems a little far-fetched right now.
All right, so what you're suggesting is, even though there's no real accessible way to go backwards in time, it doesn't prevent anyone from thinking about the consequences of it.
Sure thing. And I like thinking about it. It's a fun mental exercise.
And, of course, many films have addressed this, which we'll get to later in this hour.
Sure.
But until then, let's talk about going into the future. Einstein, with his relativity, demonstrates that this is possible. People freaked out. They said, no, you can't travel into the future. I mean, so relativity had some naysayers at the time. We're now talking 100 years ago, 1905. Right.
Well, time keeps on slipping into the future, I believe.
So fly like an eagle.
Oh, is that what that is? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was Thoreau. Even when Einstein came out with his ideas, people were having a problem with it. But come on, it's weird that time is fluid. Like you all know that, you know, waiting for a watch pot never boils, and if you're bored, time seems to take longer. But that's just perception. Einstein was talking about a physical change in the way time elapses. And if you're moving very quickly, your time slows down. Relative, that's where the relativity word comes from. Someone who's not moving. Or if you're in a deep gravity field, your time seems to move slower than somebody outside.
So an important distinction there is, I think earlier on people were saying, well, if it's just my perception that time has slowed down, then a watch shouldn't know the difference if it's just my biology. But in fact, it's everything. It is the fabric of space and time that is providing this ability or this feature.
That's right. And when I talk to people about this, and I'm sure as you do as well, when you do your public outreach, you really have to say, no, it's not just that you think time is slowing down. Your watch is physically ticking at a different rate than a different watch.
And so too is your metabolism, the rate your atoms vibrate.
Everything, yes. Subatomic particles are decaying and doing whatever it is they do on a daily basis when, you know, behind closed doors. They're doing that at a different rate. It really is. But, you know, it can speed up or slow down. And so, you know, there's probably some prurient interest in this. But in general, you know, that their time is different.
Now, earlier before the show, you were talking about GPS and how that needs relativistic correction. Tell us about that.
This is something I like. You must get email. I get email. Oddly enough, when you go out there and try to talk about science and correct people's misunderstandings of science, you get email from people who are, I have this theory. And I constantly get people.
I'm very sorry. I have questions.
Okay. Yes. Please stop emailing me, Leanne. Oh, my God. I'll get people saying, I have a theory that overthrows relativity. It's like, no, you don't. Okay? You don't. And relativity is one of the best tested ideas of all time. And in fact, the one thing I tell people is everybody uses a GPS these days.
In some way or another.
And GPS has to account for relativity. The satellites that are orbiting the Earth that are used for global positioning are actually high enough up that the gravity they feel from the Earth is actually a little bit different than the gravity we feel here at the surface. And that makes their clocks tick a little bit faster
than ours. As specified by relativity.
Yes. And it relativity says, bam, this is what it is.
So relativity says if you're deep in a gravity well, as we are down on the surface of the Earth,
that's right.
Gravity will tick more slowly
correct.
Than if you're at a lesser gravity high up.
That's right.
And so these are orbiting high up. So their clocks are ticking at a different rate, yet they're trying to tell you what time it is.
Oh, but wait a moment, Neil, because it gets worse
than
it.
But
wait, there's more. Wait a moment. This moment will stretch out relativistically. In fact, Einstein also said that if you're moving relative to somebody else at a high velocity, your clocks will slow down. And these satellites are orbiting the Earth at 15,000, whatever it is,
miles an hour. Yeah.
They're moving very quickly.
So they've got two strikes against
slow
them.
Down. So their clocks are faster than ours a little bit because they're in high. They're experiencing lower gravity. But they're moving so rapidly, their clocks are actually moving slower than ours. When you take these two effects into account.
What's the net effect?
The net effect is that their clocks are ticking more slowly. You have to account for both of these to get it right. And since global positioning satellites have to know where their position is and where your position is to figure out of the position, the P in GPS, if you don't account for relativity, and they use
clocks
to do this.
I like that the P in GPS. That's right.
That's
good.
I mean, it doesn't stand for fill or plate. It's actually position. If you don't account for these relativistic effects, your GPS would be off by some large amount. It's hundreds of yards or a fraction of a mile. Every single day.
And that would accumulate, presumably.
Yes, it would. And so the fact that your GPS can nail you down to a few yards wherever you're standing means that relativity is correct.
So the people that say relativity is wrong, they just have no – yet they're happy to use their GPS.
Yes, and so they're absolutely wrong. There's no relative here. They're wrong.
they're wrong not – right. So so
turn right ahead.
Relativity not only works on paper, it works in space.
Yes, and there are other things too. We see subatomic particles with very short lifetimes that are created at the top of the atmosphere when cosmic rays hit our air. And these subatomic particles we detect on the ground could not possibly reach the ground in the amount of time. So we know that they're moving so quickly that their clocks have slowed down and they have the lifetime to make it.
So it affects obviously not only wristwatches and biological metabolism, it's affecting the rate at which particles decay.
The very fabric of the universe
they
is relativistic.
They even know about the relativity.
That's exactly right.
That's deep.
That is so deep.
When we come back, we're going to take a tour of all the best time travel movies there are and see how well they do. This is Star Talk Radio.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Star Talk Radio. Welcome back. So, what'd you think of Planet of the Apes?
I love that movie. The original with Charlton Heston.
Yeah, and they had
Roddy McDowall.
They had people suspended animation, as we discussed in the first segment.
Right.
Because they didn't know how long. You don't want to use up your resources. And so, and then some of them died, I think, when they landed. Is that right?
There was a woman on board who dies in suspended animation. One of his fellow astronauts gets shot, and then another one gets shot and stuffed and put into a museum.
I remember that. And you see the
Yikes.
Cotton in his eyes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was so grim.
Well, that's what they – because they're the damn dirty apes.
Yeah.
So tell me about the time travel in that. Was it – comment on its accuracy. What do you think?
It was fine. They're traveling to a different star, so they're moving very rapidly.
So they must have gone in some loop because they landed back on Earth but didn't know it.
Yeah,
that's not another planet.
Let's make this clear. Yeah.
This is not some parallel planet that had a different evolutionary track. This is Earth that he comes back to in the future.
Right.
And what, humans evolve back into apes? Is that...
Well, yeah.
Does your data support this, that humans are evolving back to apes?
Actually not convinced of what you just said. How do we know it's not an alternate developmental track? How do we know that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, in
Phil,
the movie, there are some
Mr.
lines
movie critic.
In the movie, so we know it's the Earth in the end because he's at the Statue of Liberty, and so there's some other things that indicate it's Earth. There's some gotcha lines in it when they're on a raft and they're going down the river and they're trying to figure out where they are. One of them looks up at the sun in the sky and says, "It's a little too yellow. Do you think it's Bellatrix?" Which is a real star in Orion. And they're sort of misleading you, making you think they're on a different planet. And in the sequels, in Beneath the Planet of the Apes and Battle for the Planet of the Apes and Apes of the Planet, there was like five sequels. They actually establish how one of the apes comes back in time, and that's where you have to assume there's time travel. The ape goes back in time and becomes the first ape that can talk, and then leads the revolution, which becomes the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, so what you're saying is that the entire premise of that movie required backwards time travel.
I don't think in the first movie it does.
That they'd thought that through.
I don't think so. And in the original book, it's actually...
Well, you read the books too.
Yeah, it's actually
a
decent
He's
book.
A Renaissance.
It really, yes, I still read. But this was like 20 years ago when I still read. Now I prefer to just, sleep. But I believe they go to another planet, and it's a parallel evolution, and they come back to Earth. And the big twist is apes have taken over during the time they were gone.
Right, right.
Maybe not as much impactful as, pounding the sand and screaming at the Statue of Liberty, but still, it's a decent book.
Okay. And so, now how about Groundhog Day? That's a fun one. That's the time travel I think we all wish we could be part of, because you get to slightly change what happens.
Speak for yourself.
You get to change the past. He wakes up every morning, relives the day, but he has a memory of... what happened the last time. What do you think of that?
It's an interesting premise. It's never really explained. Mm-hmm. It's clearly not the groundhog itself, because he kills the groundhog he steals a truck and dives over the edge of a quarry, and he still wakes up listening to Sonny and Cher. And, if you want to wake up, I've got you, babe.
You remember this much about the movie.
Oh,
this
yeah.
Is,
yeah.
This is
it's,
scary,
it's a good
Phil.
Flick.
Phil, this is scary.
Well, his name is Phil in the movie. and so...
the groundhog
like the groundhog,
or him? Yeah.
Both. And so everybody teases him about that.
I thought Phil was his last name. Punxsutawney
Phil. Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah,
but
okay.
But his name is Phil... Okay. Anybody, okay, we need a...
okay, now's when our experts tweeted.
It doesn't matter.
We got our engineers tweeting there.
But,
Googling, yes.
It was kind of a cool idea, and you don't really ever find out how long he was in there. But he was in there long enough to be able to become a, you know, an incredible piano player at the end of the movie. And I think there was an interview. Was it Robert Zemeckis or John Landis? Who directed this movie? Well, whoever. There was an interview with him saying he was actually trapped in there for years, maybe even hundreds of years.
Mm. Long enough to be able to acquire that expertise.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to me, that would be the ultimate torture, to be able to be trapped in one place like that and have to live that over and over again. It would make me crazy.
How about Superman? The original Superman, the movie.
Okay.
The one where you will believe man can fly.
Yeah, Christopher Reeve. I love this movie. 1970, whatever. It's still one of John Williams' best soundtracks. I just think it's one of the best superhero movies. It just takes itself exactly the right amount of seriously.
Wait, Superman 2 was a little better, but we're referring specifically to the time travel. The time reversal.
I just want to get that out there that I like this movie. He flies around the Earth. And somehow
backwards.
The Earth spins the other way.
He flies around the Earth backwards from the rotation.
And I think there was a little bit of confusion there. I think that he was supposed to be traveling so close to the speed of light that he was reversing time.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like he's flying around the Earth so quickly that the Earth somehow gets dragged backwards and spins backwards, as if you just spinning the Earth backwards would spin backwards time.
Leaving everyone to think, if you just turn the Earth backwards, that time would reverse.
Yeah, and why doesn't he reverse time a couple of days so he has more time to fix things? And then, let me tell you something. The whole reason this thing happens is because Lex Luthor is shooting two missiles in opposite directions.
Right.
And he promises Miss Tessmacher, and yes, believe me, I know this movie, that he's going to stop the missile heading towards New Jersey.
Hackensack, New Jersey.
Because where her mother lives. That's exactly right. And so he has to stop that one. He can't stop the one that hits the San Andreas Fault. That's why Lois Lane gets killed, and he has to make the Earth go backwards. He can't catch up to a missile, but he can fly around the Earth fast enough to make it spin backwards. Hello.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Hello?
That's crazy. Plus,
still
at the time,
the movie.
I had a girlfriend, and we saw the movie together, and he starts flying backwards and reverses time, and she turns to me and says, "Can he really do that?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Why didn't you ask me earlier whether a man in blue pantyhose can fly?"
Right.
Why is this the first issue that you have with the physics of the film?
People have different thresholds.
And if you ever watch a Big Bang Theory on TV, in the first episode, they go through this.
I did not see the first episode. I have to go back to the archives.
They're talking to somebody about this and saying, you know, can Superman fly or does he just jump?
Mm.
And there's this whole thing about, she says, "Oh, well, people can't really fly." And one of the nerds actually says, "Oh, no, let's assume that." It's like the first thing that a science nerd would actually say. No, blah, blah, blah. And so they just sweep right past that. I love that scene. It's very funny.
Okay, so you're saying, obviously, he can't do that, but he's Superman, so why not let him do it? It's Superman physics. It's not real physics.
Yeah, you know, he can fly. He's invulnerable.
Superman physics. Is there a degree in this?
Is that what makes it so that when he puts on a pair of glasses, nobody knows that he's Superman?
Yeah, that's how that works. Yeah. So how about Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home?
Voyage Home with
whales. That's had some time travel back to our present of the day.
It was
Save the Whales. That was the subtitle for that one.
And Star Trek did this in the series a few times, and they've done this in the movies. You know, it's in the series they established that if you warp around the sun, it'll somehow make you go back in time. And since since moving faster than light, as far as we know, is impossible anyway, and who knows how this physics works. Sure. Yes, warping around the sun can make you go back in time.
Wait a minute,
but why not?
But we all know that tachyons, which exist faster than light, do move backwards in time.
Well, we don't know if they're real, though.
But if they did exist, they would move backwards in time.
Because they're moving faster than light.
But
if Neil is making sense.
But they're good ifs. These ifs are better than other ifs.
Alrighty.
All right? So
I have some buts for your ifs.
And then some thens.
So the point is, in Einstein's equations, if you put in faster than light velocity, you get backwards time travel. So you hypothesize a particle that would do this. So if you are in a sci-fi story and you go faster than light, as they're doing all the time with their warp drives, they can, in principle, go backwards in time like the tachyons can.
I will have to grant that. I never took a class in general relativity in grad school, so
actually
I don't know. So you could be making this up, and I would, sure, yes, Neil, of course. I think it's patently obvious to even the most dim-witted observer that, of course, you're correct.
But
doesn't this only work if Scotty is your engineer?
Yes.
Okay.
And only if occasionally the engines can't take it. Right, yes.
That's right. They're buckling.
So what did you think of the scene where he helps the engineer on his Mac Plus, whatever the computer was at the time. He helps the engineer invent transparent aluminum. Yeah. And then they worry that he affected time in the past, which, of course, their very existence back then is doing this. All right.
Right.
They're affecting events. And then he said, well, how do you know he's not the guy who invented it?
Right. And then McCoy leans over and says that to Scotty, and he's like, oh. So yeah, I mean, if you're going to explain a big time travel paradox, that's a great way to do it. They just shuffle it right under the rug. I thought that was hysterical. and here's Scotty, who's picking up a mouse because he doesn't know that it's not a...
The computer mouse. Yeah,
he's just talking to the mouse. Yeah, a microphone to talk to it. And yet he can seem to program in the Mac OS operating system, you know, from 1980, whatever it was.
But that's an ad about how simple it is. It wasn't Windows.
Oh, there it is.
It just works. Yeah.
So one of my favorite piece of that film was when McCoy, the doctor, McCoy, is walking through the hospital just healing everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, dialysis.
Doctor gave me a pill and I grew a new kidney.
A new kidney. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe that's kind of cool. We do some of that today compared with medicine from 200 years ago. It looks like it would look like magic today.
I have to wonder what medicine is going to be like. And I would assume a lot of it is going to be just even cutting around a lot of the problems we have today. Won't even have to worry about stuff like that.
So we all look forward to medicine of the future, for sure. One of my favorite of the benchmark movies was Time Machine itself, H.G. Wells, done a few times in film. What I found most interesting about it was his loved one died, and his love interest died, the main character's love interest, and he went back to keep trying to save her, and everything he tried to do to save her would get her killed. And so he recognized that was a fundamental part of the timeline that he could not change.
Oh, so this is in the remake, the recent remake.
The remake, yes, that was captured.
Although, honestly, he went back once and tried, and it didn't work. And then he's like, oh, well, that's it. Like, really? You can't show at least one other effort?
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Terminator. We'll see you after the break. Radio with Phil Plait, the bad astronomer, and comedian Leanne Lord. We're talking about time travel in movies. And just before the break, we mentioned The Terminator. But I'm going to save that for a little later.
All right.
Let's go into just a campy, fun movie. Well, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. How could you not love that movie?
I really liked it. I thought it was quite funny.
I thought it was great. And any comments about the science of that?
Well, in fact, if you take
an
umbrella...
That sentence actually came out of my mouth.
Wow.
If you take an umbrella and attach it to a telephone booth, and you happen to have George Carlin handy, time travel is, in fact, possible. I won't even mention time-traveling phone booths may have been done by Doctor Who first, but...
And wasn't it a phone booth in Time Bandits or not?
Oh, my gosh. I don't
remember. Yeah, I forgot that.
Well, they
maybe
had the map, but I
I forgot. Yeah.
So is that why they've actually gotten rid of phone booths?
Maybe, yeah.
People were moving around in time. And Superman uses it to become Superman. I mean, phone booths, where would we have been without them?
Harry Potter
Man, they're
well.
The Swiss
Harry
Army
Potter.
Knife.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
It's a Swiss Army knife of movie science.
Bring it back.
So what I liked about Bill and Ted was that they kept the personalities of these characters in the present. And so Beethoven went into the music shop in the mall, and Genghis Khan has got the baseball bat, and Joan of Arc is conducting the aerobics lesson. I just thought that it was kind of cool. It's what you'd want it to be if you could go back and bring historical figures into the present.
There's a crucial scene when they need to get someplace and they need to get a car. I can't remember the exact details, but they're standing there talking. And they're saying, we need to, you know, we have a time machine. We could go into the future, go into the past, get the keys to the car, and leave them for us here. Well, where would we leave them? How about right here behind the sign? And they walk behind the sign, and there are the keys.
That's right.
It's like, I said, we have to remember to do that later, dude.
Yeah.
And they do. And it was like, I could not stop laughing in the theater watching.
So it was brilliant, actually.
Yeah, it was actually a really, really well-done, tightly scripted movie.
They willed the keys to exist where they would look for them. But they had to remember to put them there when they went back in time.
That's right. And I love that in movies, and to mention Doctor Who again as well. It's a British time travel show. When they actually use time travel that way, when they say, I need to remember to go back in time and do this later. I just love stuff like that. It makes me giggle.
So how about Terminator?
Well, there you go.
That's a tight movie.
I'll be back.
That's a tight movie, you got to admit.
You know, that
wait,
movie
wait, first,
came
geek
out.
Off,
okay,
geek off.
Okay.
Geek,
right.
Geek alert.
All right.
Can you recite every one of Arnold's lines in that movie? There are only five of them.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Your clothes, give them to me.
Good one. Okay. Your clothes, give them to me. Good.
Blank. Okay.
Sarah Connor.
That's he one of says lines. That a lot, yes.
Okay. You got another one?
Blank off, blank hole. How about that? Or beep off, beep hole. Oh, that sounds even worse. Good, that's actually quite dirty,
that's
I think.
Right. Okay, so how about it? What is your address there?
Give me your address there.
Give me your address there.
Give me your address there.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, what else is he to say? I don't remember.
I love the fact that he lands at Griffith Observatory and Planetarium in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
yeah,
where
yeah.
he lands.
Nice bit of product placement.
Yeah, there you go. your clothes can be reserved. I can't remember anything else.
So is Hasta La Vista, Baby, not in one?
No, no,
that's in the second
no,
one.
No,
okay.
No.
Yeah, the young John Connor teaches
yes,
him to say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just testing you guys on your geek.
Then I'll be back when he leans over. I love that. And then the cop's just sitting there doing his stuff, and then the car crashes through.
So tell me about some of what might be the science of that.
Well, you just have to kind of say, well, they invent time travel. Actually, the one beef.
Thank you,
yes,
Phil.
Thank you yes.
for coming from Colorado to New York to tell me this.
Honestly, but that yeah. Thank you, and you know, tip your waitress. In fact, the thing that kills me is we've had this nuclear war. Humans are on the run. We're about to be crushed, and yet somehow we have the wherewithal to invent time travel. Hey, maybe you should have built a bomb to blow up, you know, Skynet or something. But, you know, no, we'll work on time travel instead.
Well, I thought, no. I thought the machines had worked on time travel, and we just sort of stole that because they sent the Terminator back, and then we sent Reese back to go after the Terminator.
Is that clear? Because they said the rebellion captures.
Yeah.
So you're saying the machines invented the time machine?
Yes, because their goal was to go back because John Connor was a pain in the butt. So they wanted to go back and kill.
To remove him from the equation.
Exactly.
Oh, you know
so
what?
In order
you
to
are
save,
right.
You know him. Then they send Reese back.
You're right.
To
okay. Reese even says the machines were smashed. We had won. There's that line that Kyle Reese
Did
says.
Did I just outgeek?
Oh,
oh!
Leanne Lord
in the house.
Smackdown.
Oh whoops. Man.
Oh.
Which you would not hear that sound in space.
I feel terrible.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Now we're going to invent time travel to go back in time
so
and kill you before you say that.
Over
and then I can
and
just
over
say,
over
oh, yes,
over.
The machines invented time travel. didn't we have somebody else in the studio? What happened to her?
So there's something else they got right in the movie. There's the scene where Sarah Connor's actual twin double is shown in the film.
That's in the second movie.
Oh, that's the second movie.
Yeah, at
oh,
the
okay.
Ironworks. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so she's there at the playground watching the children play. And a nuclear device goes off over, I guess that's Los Angeles
right.
in the background.
Oh, I know what you're going to go with this.
And
yeah.
So in a nuclear device, the energy that reaches you first is the light
right.
from the explosion. Then the shockwave reaches you. Okay? So you get the light, and it is hugely intense, and it basically vaporizes you. Or whatever. It'll melt you. It'll vaporize you. It'll burn you. Then the shockwave, which is moving at the speed of sound rather than the speed of light,
right.
follows the light, and that's what comes later and then breaks everything apart.
Right.
Then you get the air, the expanding air, which then blows everything into the winds. All we are is dust in the wind.
Dust.
Yes.
Wind.
So they got
Dude.
That right, the three forces that operate in the aftermath of a nuclear explosion.
So that made you
yeah.
happy.
Well,
you weren't confronting anybody at a dinner party later.
In the face of having to show something that disastrous, yes, they got
that
their physics right.
That damn scene gave me nightmares for like a month.
Yeah, it's yeah. pretty creepy.
And Neil's
it's,
giggling. Well, the nuclear explosion was accurate.
So
awesome.
Is there any physics you can tell me about the time travel?
Well, they never really talk about it. I mean, the expanding sphere and all that, you know, that was pretty cool, but they never really talk about it. The idea that only living tissue can go through in time, but that's just a...
That bugged
you know,
me, though, because
that's
your...
That's a plot device.
Wait. I even tweeted this. Your hair is dead, so he would have come back bald.
Right, yeah, I remember thinking that as well, and like your fingernails and
yeah.
basically your outer layer of skin.
Yeah, yeah, so he'd be...
He looked like he'd been loofed.
He'd be loofed. Yeah, he would be all dermis instead of epidermis.
But Reese actually says something about the energy field generated by a living body. So maybe that encompasses your hair. Now, I don't have to worry about that, being relatively hairless myself.
Okay.
But the movie, the beauty of it is that the plot all holds together. It's not just somebody traveling back in time and then doing stuff. The movie, the time travel is part of the movie. Reese has to go back in time mm-hmm. to impregnate Sarah Connor so that she can give birth to John Connor. And he has, I love it when he has the picture of her.
Yes, I love that.
And he's looking at that picture and he says, I always wondered what she was thinking at that moment when this picture was taken. And at the end of the movie.
That's the moment.
She's thinking of him. I mean, in a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and all this, and I'm like getting choked up. Come on. That was so cool.
Actually, that's not what I thought she was thinking. I thought she was just terrified of what was in her future. I wasn't getting all...
Well, she's looking to the future.
Interpersonal
about
it.
About how she was, but she was saying, you know, you'll never know your father or something.
Yeah.
But she was actually thinking about Kyle.
So just to get the
snap.
Just to get the genetics of this straight.
Yes.
He is his own father?
He's John Connor's father.
So he's he's John Connor's son, but he begat John Connor.
No.
John Connor is Kyle Reese's son.
Yes.
But he goes back in time, gets Sarah Connor pregnant. She gives birth to John Connor, and then John Connor has to send his father back in time.
To be his father.
So that he could
exist. Yes.
Yes.
And that's why the movie is so tight. And, in fact, it's probably the only movie in the history of movies where the sex scene is, in fact, integral to the plot. Yeah. You know, they had to say...
Take that, censors.
Sorry, Ms. Hamilton, you gotta do it.
You gotta get laid wherever make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So very cool.
And that line has never worked for me, though. So, come with me if you want to live. And, you know, and that doesn't actually work at the bar, sadly.
Now, oh, was that one of the lines that you guys missed?
No, Reese says that.
Oh, darn it.
The Terminator
right.
says that in the second movie,
okay.
which is an homage to the first movie.
Yes.
You got it. You got it. So any time travel movies I've left out? I mean, those are good.
Well,
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
That's worth its own segment. I want to save that for the last segment of Star Talk.
Yeah.
So with all this time travel, so what we're confessing here or recognizing here is that they don't put much physics into time travel. They just assert that it can exist and then tell their stories behind it, right?
I think that's pretty close. I mean, there are times.
How about
when
Somewhere in Time? Do you remember that? Once again, Chris Reeve.
No, I haven't actually.
There's
seen
a romantic.
Oh, is that the one where he falls asleep holding the penny and he's thinking really hard?
So that's time travel.
Oh, I love
a chick flick time travel. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I've never seen.
Wow.
It was romantic. It was.
It was.
And my wife wants me to see that movie. And it's like
dude, that's major.
Aliens? No. Rockets? No. No.
Yeah. There's no explosions. There's no aliens. There's no.
But it's
tidal waves.
It's the strongest force in the universe.
Love being that which brings you back through time.
So
what I liked about it was, and because I've thought about this often, if I go back through time, I need currency of the period. I cannot bring a Roosevelt dime back to a pre-Roosevelt era and spend that money and have anyone think it's real money.
That's right.
You need cash serving the time that you're in. And they did this in Star Trek because they had a wardrobe. They said, wear this and wear that. And, of course, my favorite line back in the Star Trek 4 was when Spock gets on the bus.
Yeah.
And then he gets off the bus, and he's, what is exact change? And I said, Spock, aren't you smart enough to at least done your homework and figure this out?
No, that's not the problem. He did too much LDS at Berkeley.
Is that what that is?
Well, that's what Kirk said.
We've got to take a quick break, but more Star Talk when we return. This is Star Talk Radio. Welcome back. The most recent time travel movie I can think of is Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
Did you see that film?
Yes, I did.
I did not. Tell me about the science in that film.
It's actually one of the most scientifically accurate movies I have ever seen. This endorsement paid in full by whatever studio made that movie.
Surely something in the interaction of the alcohol and the circuit board could have turned the tub into a time machine.
That's what I'm thinking. The right alcohol content, the electricity, the marriage of the two, it's fantastic.
Whenever I'm in a hot tub and I spill a lot of alcohol on the control panel, I flash back to the 80s. So I think actually a factual basis to this film.
Well, it can't be any more or less believable than a flux capacitor. Come on now.
That's a better name.
I have a flux capacitor. Don't you?
I'm not authorized to.
Oh, I see. I see. You have an entire planetarium, but not a flux capacitor. I see.
So let's talk stuff about Back to the Future. It's one of the great time travel movies of all time, I think. And is there any moments that for each of you that rise above the rest in the time travel aspects of the film?
Wow. That rise above. Well, sure. When at the end of the movie, when he goes back to the future, there are subtle changes that happen, and I didn't even notice it the first time. In fact, it wasn't until
because
I went
he actually
to see the movie
he actually
again.
Changed the future by having been in the past.
Right. He
sorry. He changed his present.
Yeah. By replacing his father in the tree, there's a series of events that cascades into the future, and so when he goes back to the future, things are different. And they threw.
So give
in,
me a list of some of those things that are different.
Well, as he's leaving the barn after he goes back into the past in 1955, he runs over one of the pines.
Because he restarts the DeLorean.
No, yes.
No, no, no. As he comes back through time, the DeLorean accidentally drives over one of the.
No. He's
oh,
back
he's coming
in,
back out.
He comes back in time. He's in the barn. Mm-hmm. The farmer comes out and is going to shoot him. So
as farmers always do.
Yes.
When you at night. When you go into their barn.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so Marty gets in, he starts the DeLorean up, crashes through the door, and runs over one of the pines. And you hear old man, whatever his name is, say, "My pine!"
And the estate sign that talked about the future real estate that would go there described it as Twin Pines.
Twin Pines Mall is the name of the mall where he and Doc Brown are testing out the DeLorean.
So we're to believe, surely accurately, that this mall was once this farmland.
Yes.
Yes.
And so when he goes back to
the future.
How hard
is that to believe?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, well, you know, and he goes back to the future, and you see the sign for the mall says, I think it was Lone Pine Mall.
Lone Pine Mall.
Yeah.
Instead of Twin Pine Mall.
And I don't remember.
And they don't make a big deal of it. The camera just pans by it.
And that's my favorite thing in a movie, is where they just sort of toss something in there and let you figure it out for yourself.
That means you have to pay four times to see the movie.
Well, yeah, I didn't notice that until the second time I saw the movie. I was floored by this when I saw it.
I caught it like the fifth time, so
yeah,
I was a little slower
really,
than you.
But it really subtle.
Yeah, I caught it.
Yeah.
There is a continuity error that I caught right away.
Ooh.
That
really?
Marty,
ooh.
Well, Marty writes a note
yes.
to Doc Brown and leaves it for him. And when Marty goes back to the future, and again, you know, spoiler alert here, and Doc Brown opens up his jacket and there's a bulletproof vest, and Marty says, "How did you know?" Doc Brown holds up the note. He taped it back together
yes.
after tearing it apart. And the handwriting's different on the note. And I only remember that because Marty signed it, and it went like across a crease or something, and his signature was in a different place. And I remember sitting in the theater thinking, wow, the note's different. And my second thought was, wow, I'm a giant dork that
yes.
I noticed that. Wow.
And were
but
you
no.
alone in the theater when you saw the yes, okay.
But you know what? No, script supervisors get fired for that sort of thing.
Uh-oh. So you just cost someone the job.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, it was filmed, what, 25 years
yeah,
ago?
Probably so, yeah, probably retired now.
So
yeah.
Your point is this.
Yeah, that kid on the radio is.
You pay close enough attention to the original signature, notice that it went across a crease in the paper.
Or something like that. You'll see
okay.
that the note is different.
A continuity. All right. Anything else you notice?
Fairly trivial error.
Yeah, that is as geek. I don't know if I can match that. I'll try hard. But go on. Give me another one.
Oh, I don't know.
It's just some
you
more.
Have something in mind?
Well, so any other.
There's no such thing as a flux capacitor.
Really?
That we know of.
That we know of. I'm not authorized to dive. So,
the idea of a DeLorean being unreliable seems fairly accurate.
Now, how about this?
The lawyers are calling.
Have you heard anyone ever pronounce Giga as Jigga?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
You have?
No.
I have never.
Outside of
gigawatt.
Rap songs?
Oh, jig. Oh.
Yeah, get Giga with it, I think, is the...
Get Jiggy with it.
Yeah. No, and in fact, that really bugged me in the movie.
Yeah, he said...
Gigawatt.
Gigawatt, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's unfortunate. So how about... here's something you might not have known.
All right.
Do you remember when Doc Brown is doing his wire tweaking in anticipation of the lightning bolt near the clock, and the cop comes up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Do you have a permit for that?"
Yes.
Okay, and then we just continue.
Well, he pulls his wallet out and says, "Yeah, let me see if I have one here." And he's pulling out money.
He's pulling out money.
Oh,
he
never noticed this.
No. The reason why you didn't notice is because that scene was cut. It's in the DVD extras.
I remember seeing that in the theater.
No, it was not in the theaters. No.
Then I saw it on TV. I've not seen it
was
on TV.
Well, then you have a widescreen TV in your house, is what you're saying.
I in fact do.
See?
But I never saw it on DVD, I know I've seen that.
They
scene
cut that. It was originally cut from the movie, and I was kind of glad it was cut because he's not a bribing kind of guy. You know, it was actually out of character with him.
But he was very rich. I thought you were about to say he pulls money out and it's modern money.
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't look. I was shocked that he's bribing the cop, and that's how he can continue with his
experiment. Well, I know I've seen that scene. I just don't know where. I mean, I've seen this movie for a gazillion times.
You saw it at the planetarium.
4 gigawatt times. And yeah, I know I've seen it, but not on DVD. So maybe some version on television, they showed the DVD version.
And of course, my favorite is Mr. Fusion at the end there.
That's awesome.
That's so good. Mr. Fusion, that's how in the future, rather than finding plutonium, which by the way is an element named after Pluto, believed at the time it was named to have been a planet. Discovered in 1940, 10 years after Pluto itself.
I thought it was named after Plutarch. No? Okay.
So not. And they save the element after uranium for the name plutonium. So it's after Neptunium. So you have uranium, neptunium, plutonium, right. Three consecutive elements on the periodic table. Pluto got on the periodic table on false pretense.
You're just waiting for Tysonian, aren't you? Tysonium, yeah.
So we got to wrap this up.
This has been Star Talk Radio. I want to thank my guests, and as always, I want to bid you to keep looking up.